My friends, listen to this bold declaration from our Jewish Talmud. Three there are who are called by Shem HaMeforash, the Tetragrammaton, the distinguished name. As you can guess, the name to which reference is made in the Talmudical quotation I have just given you is none other than that name so frequently pronounced in English as Jehovah. And the Talmud declares that there are three who possess that name. Moreover, the observation is made in comment upon Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, a passage admittedly messianic, for it refers to Tzemach Tzadik, which is, as Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, B.A., Ph.D., declares, the term used to denote the messianic king. Our Jewish Zohar is even more explicit, as, commenting on Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, our Shema Yisrael, it has this to say: why is there need of mentioning the name of God three times in this verse? The first Adonai is the Father above. The second is the stem of Jesse, the Messiah, who is to come from the family of Jesse through David. And the third Adonai is the way which is below, meaning Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit who shows us the way. And these three are one. That is the end of this extraordinary and little-known quotation. I have given you these quotations from unauthoritative and uninspired Jewish writings, so that you may see them as reasonably creditable reflections of the truths we have produced in previous messages from the authoritative and divinely inspired scriptures of Tanakh, the Bible, where the plural, in association with the singular, is a phenomenon we have already illustrated and remarked. We see this arresting feature again in the second chapter of the prophet Haggai, at verse 7, where God is the speaker, and he announces, V'hirashti et kol hagoyim, uva'u chemdet kol hagoyim. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now this passage is admittedly messianic, and one of our esteemed modern Jewish commentators, Eli Kashdan, M.A., in his valuable commentary, indicates that the passage refers to the establishment of the kingdom of God. But here is the feature to which I desire to draw your attention. Although the poetic title of deity, the desire of all nations, is in the singular, yet the verb, ba'u, shall come, is in the plural. In the Bible, the employment of the plural where God is mentioned is certainly a startling discovery, but it is a useful discovery, as we shall see, for it opens up to us the otherwise inexplicable mystery of redemption through the seed of the woman, upon which subject I have already touched, and to which theme I shall hope immediately to return. We have already seen that our Jewish scriptures reveal the eternal God, blessed be He, as a perfect unity of three conscious centers of personality. This is not tritheism, neither is it polytheism, nor yet Unitarianism. It is, I believe, deity. What word can contain or describe adequately such a unity? I doubt if we possess one. What can adequately illustrate such a unity? I doubt if it can be perfectly illustrated, but I have an idea, and I would like to share it with you. Lean back and relax while I tell you about it. Do you remember that on a previous occasion I confessed to you that I was passionately fond of music. Well, I am really more than fond of it. I seem to understand it. To me, it is uniform in that it is music, but it is multiform in that it speaks so many languages and appears in so many what I call sound personalities. Of course, each of these separate and distinct sound personalities is capable of being grouped into various races and families. There is the French-speaking family of sound personalities, the German-speaking family of sound personalities, the Spanish-speaking family of sound personalities, and so on. But more than this, the various sound personalities in music unmistakably reflect the personality of their creator. I say unmistakably, advisedly. It is so to me, at least. For upon occasions too numerous to mention, I have listened to a piece of music, the name and composer of which were quite unknown to me. Yet, before its conclusion, I have been able to declare its creator with an almost monotonous accuracy. The sound personality of the composition bore a shadowy, yet unmistakable, outline of its creator. There is a personality affinity between the composition and the composer. If this is so in sound, does all creation itself supply a shadowy, yet unmistakable, outline of its creator? Or should I say its creators? For the plural is used in the Hebrew text of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1. In my message number 38, I called your attention to the opening words of Genesis, where the noun, God, literally gods, is plural, but the verb with which it is associated, created, is in the singular. Well, what did this one gods create? That which we call the universe, the totality of existing or created things. And note, if you please, we call this totality of things a universe, and uni is itself a word element meaning one. Of what does this universe consist? Let me frankly acknowledge my partial indebtedness to Dr. Nathan Wood for my ability to suggest that this universe consists of at least three factors: space, matter, and time. And these three are so much a unity that one cannot conceive the extinction of one without the extinction of all. Take any one of these three factors of unity, and each one is three. For instance, space is height, length, and breadth. And again, the elimination of any one eliminates all. It is so also with the second factor, matter. So obviously energy, motion, and phenomena, a unity in tri-unity, that any one is the other two, yet each is strictly not the other, but is something other than the other. Of time, the third factor, I hear you all anticipating me by saying past, present, future, and of course you'll all be wrong. It's future, present, past, for that is the direction of time flow, as a little reflection will indicate. Once again, these three are one, yet each is not either of the other two. Into this 3-1, 1-3 universe, gods, plural, created, singular, man. And in doing so, said, Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu, v'yivra Elohim et ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem Elohim bara oto. Let us make man in image of us, according to likeness of us. And he created gods, even the man, in image of him. In image of gods he created him. I have given you a literal translation of the Hebrew text, to bring out the extraordinary grammatical counterplay of this unique scripture. And surely man reflects this counterplay with his 3-1-1-3 personality, which I personally believe to be trichotomous, one man as spirit and soul and body. Or if you are a Freudian, the id, the ego, and the superego. Yes, indeed, this universe and man that inhabits it is stamped with the shadowy outline of a threeness that is unity, of a oneness that is triune. And even the solar light in which man and his universe is bathed is a unity of threeness, the calorific, the luminiferous, and the actinic, and these three are one. Stampede and begone, ye figmentary armies of polytheism. Dissolve, ye solitary unlove, Unitarianism. This 3-1-1-3 universe is not conformable nor comfortable habitation for such as ye. May Israel and all who love the divine revelation given to man through Israel exclaim again with enlightened spirit, hopeful soul, and body poised for resurrection, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal, our gods, the Eternal, a unity. And we shall also cherish anew Israel's triune blessing, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmrecha, Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'navelecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.